Missed it live.
Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Seize the world on kaya959.
On the street, on the air.
Tamia, you put a move on my heart. Mac is like, your Wednesday wedding invitation, player. Sounds like walking down the aisle music.
It does.
I was like, well, it is. So here's the thing. I was driving this morning and I decided I wasn't going to ask for permission. I'll just break the rules and go ahead. This whole hour is going to be Quincy Jones produced tracks.
Oh, man.
The whole hour. I'm not playing around.
Yeah.
And so I met Quincy Jones in 2006. He was already old then, but he still had the wealth of knowledge, music-wise, etc. and so on. And I don't know, it seems like he liked to tell stories. Because when I was introduced to him, they told him that I worked for MTV, MTV Africa, yada, yada, yada. And then he started telling me a story about MTV. Now, Quincy was quite possibly the most influential person that's, I want to say, ever lived. But culture-wise, possibly true. You know that Will Smith is one of my favorite people. And the reason why Will Smith actually got his show is because of Quincy Jones.
Yeah, I've heard that story.
Yeah. The reason why LL Cool J had In the House is because of Quincy Jones. He put a lot of people in different rooms and different spaces, and he made a lot of careers what they are. So anyway, he tells me the story about his interaction with MTV. He mentions people by name. He knew them on a first name basis. It was a guy who wanted to start a radio station, and the guy couldn't get a license for a radio station. So then instead, what he did was he was going to play the videos. But there really weren't any music videos back then. What a music video was, people would perform, like bands would perform. Then they'd record the bands.
And put it out.
Then there would be the video. You see? Dali Tambo, for example. Dali Tambo, the one ended up producing, presenting People of the South.
Yes.
He presents a music show in the U.S.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You can find clips of him on online. But that's, you know, I digress. Anyway, then he speaks about how he produced the Michael Jackson album, Thriller. And this album had done tremendously well. I think at the time they'd done between 7 to 10 million copies. Then they're like, okay, we're done. The album is very, very, very successful. We're moving on to the next one. Then Michael said, no, I want to shoot a video for Thriller. Then the label was like, dude, we're not going to give you budget for that. This album is done. What are we doing now? There's nothing else to sell. And what ended up happening was MTV was like, well, if you're shooting this video, we'll come and cover it. We'll give you some of the money for this video. And in exchange, we will have exclusive rights to this video that you're shooting. Right? And that's how MTV making the video was actually born.
Oh, really?
Wow.
So they came, they shot the behind the scenes. Then, obviously, because they had that exclusive footage, they were the only ones who had it. The extended version of Thriller is called the MTV cut. It's like 11 minutes long. It's like a movie, right? Nobody else had that. And as you know, Thriller went on to sell something stupid, like 33 million copies. That choreography right now is the most, the most iconic anywhere. So, you know, Quincy was full of stories like that. R.I.P. to a G, a legend. This whole hour, I'm going to play you. There's some local songs I'll play and you'll be surprised. Like, how is this? Now the one, but yeah. I don't know. Anybody got a Quincy story to tell?
I was reading a lot of the tributes, this obviously yesterday and today. And so many of them, there were so many quotes from him saying, especially about Michael Jackson. He was like, "You, Michael used to steal so many things, man. He used to steal so many things, Michael. He stole that." But it was all in jest. Like, I think all the quotes were so much in jest. But it goes back to what you were saying about him being a storyteller. Like, he told stories. And the quotes also, obviously, I'm not old enough to remember a lot of what he's produced, but He seemed like somebody that really told a lot of stories. And reading the quotes from some of the interviews that he's done over his life and his career, it also just makes sense that he was a storyteller.
Lived till 91 And the guy was a gangster when he was young. He says he didn't think he was going to live to like 21 or something. And the thing is, if you look at basically his life, he started music at the age of something silly, like 11 or something.
Yes, man.
You know? Mm. Playing in bands. And then obviously you see what ended up happening.
I think all over the world, someone, you know, who's met him has a Quincy Jones memory. We were interviewing TK Ngcisa, who was co-owner of TS Records,
yes,
on the podcast just last week. Now, bear in mind, Quincy Jones was still alive, and he was saying how when they met Quincy Jones and they were telling him they've just started this record label and they're finding it difficult to put songs on the radio, and he was like, what do you mean? You know, you guys are black, this, you got a black government, everything here, you pretty much essentially own it. And he was just giving them some tips and some wisdom as far as how to market and push their music.
I was there. Oh, that day, real? I was there. Smooda was there as well.
Yeah.
He was wearing a tan suit with big sunglasses.
Wow.
And he was wearing a lime shirt.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember that day.
Yeah.
That is so interesting. For me, it's just what it doesn't even boggle the mind, like it just blows my mind, is how his influence, his talent was so transgenerational.
Yes.
Like yesterday when I was putting together a mashup of his music and Keta was also throwing in songs, I'm like, I didn't know that. Tamia, I didn't know that. So I'm yet to watch his documentary on Netflix. It comes highly recommended.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just cannot wait. I cannot wait. I read a line that says he is put on record or on record as the artist with more Grammy nominations and awards than anyone else alive.
What, 28
Grammys? 28 Grammys, yeah.
Yeah.
Did over, I think, 1,900 songs.
Gosh.
Just crazy, man. And he didn't just do music.
Yeah.
He scored movies, TV shows, theme songs. Oprah, her first show, her theme song was made by Sanford and Son. Theme song was made by
Sanford
him. In South Africa, it's funny, you know, people that are this influential and that big, they tend to be very humble.
Yeah.
And in South Africa, the person that I think is R. Quincy Jones is Oskido.
Mm. Yeah.
But you'd never say it.
No.
You see, the music that we enjoy today,
yeah,
a large part of the music industry wouldn't exist if it wasn't for Oskido.
Yeah.
Influence, eh?
Factuals. I know what you're thinking. Robbie Malinga. And this is how beautiful his music palette was, right? So eclectic. To a point where he could make a song, obviously, that was made in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And that song still resonated here in South Africa when it was remade by Robbie Malinga. So this is actually a sample of Brothers Johnson, a song titled Stomp. Here's the original.
Oh, wow. Oh, you can hear it now.
I'm putting you on today, Saul.
Oh, no, this is awesome. I'm blown away, actually.
You feel that?
Oh, yeah, that intro.
You feel that groove?
Yay.
The fact that I know this song as well is just like...
Yeah, man. Hey, he did everything, man. Yeah. He did everything. Now... here's where it gets really, really interesting. You know, because he lived so long, and you were talking about how he transcended different eras, right? There are songs that he did that certain people didn't know he'd done, for example. And so here's one that I think, I don't think you'll be surprised to hear it, but when I do play it, you'll be like, oh, damn. Okay, that's where it comes from. If you watch movies a lot. Ludacris even rapped on this. Saul still catching up.
Number one spot.
I hear it.
Oh, yeah.
fancy the horn arrangement, bro. Yeah. Sold Bossa Nova, and then this went on to Austin Powers.
Yeah.
The song was actually made in 1967.
It makes sense why he's even so good at the horns, because I remember watching Ray Charles, Jamie Foxx, and he meets Quincy Jones, I think, like he's 16, with the trumpets.
Yes.
Makes sense.
So when they started playing in the band, him and Ray played together. Ray, I think, was like 2 years a senior.
Wow, man.
They played for everybody. Everybody. What a G.
There's a story about how he blew his nerve from playing the trumpet too much. Ooh. And then he had to take a bit of a break, and that's when he was putting most of the work into composing and production. I was just like, how much trumpet does one have to play to blow a nerve?
Yep, and never blew his own trumpet. Now, as I continue to showcase the eclecticism of Quincy's musical palette, listen to this, Pila Sunday. So, in 1741, there was a composer named George Frederick Handel, and he composed a song that he titled Messiah. In 1992, Quincy Jones decided to remake Messiah and recompose it. His version, in my opinion, is better. But I'm biased because I obviously lived in his era. And he brought this to new generations, people that otherwise perhaps would not have known the song.
True.
And again, this is now gospel. This is the sort of stuff you hear on Getting Ready With My Blair.
I take it Messiah is the famous hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes. Well, the hallelujah specifically was more along this tune.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can't begin to explain how immensely talented this guy was.
And it sounds like a lot of his songs, we know them or they've touched us at some point in our lives, yet we didn't know it was him. Like, I'm finding this out now.
Yeah, because producers are unsung heroes. You know what I mean? That's really it.
It's only a good touch of soul, but it was 7 o'clock, eh? Spade of Hearts, my daughter. I sang an injection about it. Chovicho. I can't wait for that. Quincy. Azish Okrotman. Azish Omsizwan. Chovicho.
This is the sort of stuff I get excited about. You see, it's not that I don't get excited about doing the other show. I do. I mean, I enjoy talk shows and all those things. But the music part, this really gets my blood flowing.
Oh, you're fighting today, my guy. You're fighting, my G. Quincy Jones, class in session. Thank you, my guy. Rest in peace to the legend, man.
Ah, no, today is, it's massive. I'm loving it. It's like we're listening to a masterclass. Yeah, Quincy Jones, you know, thank you. This is amazing. R.I.P. King.
Good morning, sis. Good morning, Sizwe. Good morning, Saul. Rest in peace to Quincy Jones. Rest in peace to the legend, the icon. There will never be a one like him.
Billie Jean. Michael Jackson. Now, the last song that I was going to play is We Are the World, USA of Africa. And the proceeds of that song went to a charitable foundation. But more than anything, see, when you work with the producer, a producer brings out the best in the talents that they work with, right? And when they were recording this song, I'm sure you've seen the video, there are a lot of people there.
Yeah.
And you can even see Michael Jackson, because Michael Jackson was immensely vocally talented.
Mm-hmm.
When some people sing, he kind of shrieks.
I'm a bimba.
Yes, and he's like, So... if you watched it behind the scenes, there was a part where Bob Dylan was about to deliver his solo. And he was uncomfortable with the solo he was going to deliver. And so Quincy kind of walked up to him and he told him, look, man, you're okay. You're handling it well. Just this part is really important. I want you to just try and sing it differently, right? And he kind of coached him. And you could see that, well, had it not been for those words of encouragement, perhaps maybe it wouldn't have worked out the way that it ended up being. Listen to this clip specifically.
Yes, man, that's
what's that?
Just stay right in the mic like that, Bob. That's beautiful. And you know what's nice, man, is you sing along with the chorus like that, too. That's the only time we do an octave like that. That's beautiful.
I get out right after me, right there.
Yeah, I'm just after you and me. But I mean, but the thing you were doing up there, you were singing along with the chorus. We are the children. That's nice, man. Just a little closer to you.
Okay.
That's beautiful. Because that's the only time we use the low octave.
All right, man. It sounds great. Let's do it.
Yeah. Do it one more time, Steve. Can you? Okay.
Don't run it yet.
See, so again, always had the presence of mind to know, okay, this needs a little bit of encouragement. This person may be uncomfortable. Stevie's the one playing the keys right there, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. there's a lot of pressure, a lot of professionals in the room. And, well, you know, man, what a G. R.I.P.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.